Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. My key verse is verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. From the reading of these verses, I want to speak from the subject, the other side of but. The other side of but. We all should know that every story has two sides. It is impossible to make a fair assessment of any situation without knowing both sides of the equation. Quite often, the equation that is before us is connected by but. But is a conjunction that connects two, bringing a contrast, meaning that what's on the left side of but contrasts with what comes on the right side of but. And until you hear both sides of the equation, you don't really understand the full situation. As we unfold the pages of our lives, God balances out the equation from what we experience with what he intends for us to learn. Right. Now, sometimes, church, sometimes we are so focused on getting through the troubles, the trials, the tribulations, the downsets and so forth, that we fail to get the message that God intended for us to get. And so hopefully today, I can just help you to understand when you're going through your stuff, and I just call it stuff. When you're going through your stuff, understand that God is in full control. He's in full control. And he allows us to go through some stuff so that we will understand that he's still God and he's still in control. Now, before I get to our text, I want to share just a few buts in the Bible so you will get the understanding of where I'm going. In Genesis chapter 37, we meet a 17-year-old boy by the name of Joseph. On the left side of Joseph's butt, we find that he is hated by his 10 older brothers. They hate him to the point to where they want to kill him. But thank God, Reuben says, no, he is our brother. So let's not kill him, but we'll sell this joker. And so they sell him into Egyptian slavery. Joseph is lied on by Sister Potiphar. Joseph is unjustly imprisoned. Joseph is promised while in prison but he's forgotten while he's in prison. Joseph goes through a lot on the left side of the bed. But on the right side, I've asked Brother Bradshaw to read for us Genesis chapter 41, beginning at verse number 39. Genesis 41, beginning at verse 39.
Then Pharaoh said to Joseph,
Inasmuch
as God has shown you all this.
Now, just to fast forward this, and I'm going to take my time through here. This morning, Brother Gibbs told me, now, you got to get through because we got Bible class. But now he said, you can preach until the lights go out. Pharaoh had this dream, and no one could interpret the dream. And Joseph came in. Not only did he interpret the dream, but he even told him what you dreamed. And then he interpreted. And so now Pharaoh is rewarding Joseph for what he has done. All right, Brother Bradshaw, read.
There is no one as discerning and wise as you.
All right.
You shall be over my house.
Uh-huh.
And all my people shall be ruled according to your word.
Uh-huh.
Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you.
In other words, Joseph has been placed second in command in Egypt. There is nobody over Joseph other than Pharaoh.
That's right.
This is a slave boy. Coming from Canaan. Mm-hmm. And now he is in charge on the right side. Now, I've got to bring this in. Joseph, these 10 brothers that sold him, that just lied about him, didn't like him, hated him, now they're in the midst of Joseph. If you would, Bradshaw, go to chapter 45.
All right.
Chapter 45, beginning at verse number 1. Chapter 45, verse number 1.
Then Joseph could not restrain himself.
The brothers are there with him, and there is an audience there. But Joseph has got to talk to these brothers. Read.
Before all those who stood by him.
Uh-huh.
And he cried out, make everyone go out from me.
Get everybody out of here.
So one stood with him.
Uh-huh.
While Joseph made himself known to his brothers.
Now, the brothers, they don't know Joseph. Because Joseph lately has been living like a king for 2 years. He's been eating and sleeping like a king for 2 years. These brothers, they are just as raunchy. Y'all ever been home after being gone for a long time and saw some, or you went to your 50-year class reunion? Yeah, you ever been to one of them 40 or 50-year class reunion and you're looking at some of your classmates that look like they were your professors? Joseph recognized his brothers. But they didn't recognize him. Read, Bradshaw.
And he wept aloud.
Uh-huh.
And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it.
All of them heard him weeping. Read.
Then Joseph said to his brothers.
Listen to what he said.
I am Joseph.
I'm Joseph.
Does my father still live?
How's my daddy doing? How's my daddy doing? And what did they read?
But his brothers could not answer him.
They are amazed. They are dumbfounded. Mm-hmm. Our brother, read.
For they were dismayed in his presence.
Uh-huh.
And Joseph said to his brothers, please come here to me.
Come here. And I know their knees are shaking. What is he going to do to us after what we have done to him?
Right.
They are worried about it. I don't have time to go through that whole story. But I wanted to show you about the but. If you would, go to chapter 50, verse 20. Chapter 50, verse 20, read.
But as for you.
I tell you what, go up to 19. Up to 19.
Joseph said to them,
uh-huh.
Do not be afraid.
Joseph tells his brother, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Read.
For am I in the place of
God? I'm not God. Mm-hmm. What you did, that's between you and God. Right. But read.
But as for you.
As for you.
You meant evil against me.
You meant evil against me. But.
But God meant it for good.
Meant it for good.
That's it.
What comes on your left side may come from man, but there is a God that's handling the right side. Everybody's going through something, church. We're going to go through something. We are God's children. But those of us who have been baptized into the body of Christ, we have been adopted into the family of God. God has one real son, and that's Jesus Christ. And if his natural son has to go through some stuff, don't you know us adopted children are going through it too? We're going to go through some stuff. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we meet a widow woman in Zarephath. Elijah has gone through what I call God's witness protection program. Elijah went to a woman named Jezebel and her husband. And he did a prophecy that wasn't favorable. And so God puts him in his witness protection program. God has Elijah lying down by the Brook Cherith. He has food airlifted into him on a daily basis. But when the famine came and the brook dried up, God moves him, tell him to go to Zarephath. And of all the people in Zarephath, God sends him to a widow woman who is poor. This woman, according to the Bible, in 1 Kings chapter 17, she has no bread in the house. She only has a handful of meal and a bin and just a little oil in a jar. And she is out gathering sticks. She says that I'm gathering sticks. I'm going to make a cake and my son and I are going to eat it and die. Now, I need to explain this. Anybody know what a whole cake is? I see a few raise their hand up. For those of you who don't, my grandmother made the best biscuits that you could ever eat. And she would roll a biscuit dough out, and we didn't have biscuit cutters, so she would take a glass and turn it upside down, and she would spin it a little and make a perfect round biscuit. And after she has cut all of those biscuits out, the little holy dough that was left, she would bring it together, pat it out, and make a whole cake. And oh, I wanted that whole cake so bad, but she always saved that for Papa. I never got that whole cake, but that's what this whole cake, and this lady is about to bake a cake for her son and herself, and they're going to eat that and die because that's all she has. Elijah tells her, you have a good plan, but put God first. And her faith in God put God first. And she gives Elijah the first bacon. And I want you to hear the right side of her, that's the left side of her butt, but I want you to hear the right side of her butt beginning at verse 15. 1 Kings 17 beginning at verse 15 and 16. Read.
So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days.
She, Elijah, and her household ate for many days. And that little handful of flour, read.
The bin of flour was not used up.
It never used up.
Nor did the jar little oil in run dry.
The oil never ran dry. Because that's the right side of the butt. But church, when we are going through the left side, we don't think that there's a right side coming. God is always, always in control. We've got time now, so let's go to Job. Job chapter 1. We meet this man whom the book is named after, Job. The Bible says that on the left side, we see a man who's blameless. We see a man who's upright. We see a man who feared God. And he shunned evil. Job was a good man. And I want you to hear this because sometimes, church, we feel that because we are Christians, because we are the children of God, Because I come to church every Sunday, I'm there for Bible class on Wednesday night. I meet all other church activities. I'm exempt from going through the troubles and trials and tribulations of this world. Not so. Not so. Christians go through it just like everybody else go through it. But the difference is we've got a God that's in control of what we go through, how long we go through it, and how it's going to end up. Here's Job, a man who's upright, a man who's blameless, a man who shuns evil. And God has blessed Job. The Bible tells us that Job has seven sons, three daughters. He has 7,000 sheep. He has 3,000 camels. He has 500 yoke of oxen. He has 500 female donkeys. Job's got it going on. But on the right side of Job, but listen to what happens. In one day, Bradshaw, verse 13.
Now there was a day.
There was a day.
When his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house.
All right, the family is together. Read.
And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you.
Isn't that something? Lost all of that cattle in one swoop. But while he's still talking about that, read.
Another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep.
Lightning come down. And all of those sheep gone. Read.
And consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you.
And what's that next phrase?
While he was still speaking.
While he is still speaking. Read.
Another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword.
3,000 camels, all gone. And while he's still speaking.
While he was still speaking.
Read.
Another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house.
Not my children.
And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness.
Not the children.
The four corners of the house.
Not the children.
And it fell on the young people and they are dead.
All 10 children. And that's a day. That's just one day. And you talking about you've had a day?
Amen.
How do you think a man feels losing 10 children, all of his children, in one fatal swoop? All his camels, all of his donkeys, everything that Job has. And if you read the story, you find that not only did he lose all of that, but then he lost his health. He had sores on him. Job was going through the stuff. And then he's got these quote-unquote friends who come to him and tell him, Job, you couldn't go through what you have gone through without having done something. Tell me, what have you done? And if it had been the young people of today, they'd have got down and said, come on, dog, talk to me. We here. Talk to. What have you done? You had to have done something.
All right.
And Job throws his hands up and he says, I haven't done a thing. I've always put God first.
Amen.
And then the backbreaker is when Sister Job, Sister Job tells him, you ought to just curse God and die. Man, that left side is rough. Shelton and I go way back. And I could take it if he turns his back on me. But when Sister Robinson turned her back on me, that's a backbreaker.
Amen.
Sister Job said, you ought to curse God and die. He said, you talk like a foolish woman. Naked I came into this world and naked I'll leave this world. But blessed is the name of God. Now, all of this is on the left side of Job. But let me show you how Job transfers over to the right side.
All right.
Chapter 1, verse 22, The Bible says, in all of this, Job never sinned, nor did he charge God for his wrong. Mm. And then to really put the icing on the cake, in chapter 13 and verse 15, Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. All of this goes through, and there's a lot that goes through on the left side of Job's butt. But I need to get to the right side. On the right side of Job's butt is found in chapter 42, beginning at verse number 12. Chapter 42. Come on, Bradshaw.
Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning.
He blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning. Now, I told you what he had in the beginning.
All right.
Listen to Bradshaw. Read.
For he had 14,000 sheep.
He started with 7,000. Mm. God blesses him with 14,000. Read.
6,000 camels.
He started with 3,000. Mm. Now God gives him 6,000. Mm. Read.
1,000 yoke of oxen.
He had 500 in the beginning. God gives him 1,000 in the end. Read.
1,000 female donkeys.
He had 500 in the beginning. God gives him 1,000 because he went to the right side of the butt. And he never charged God for what he was going through. Read.
He also had seven sons.
Seven sons and three daughters. He started with that. But there's a difference. Read.
And he called the name of the first Gemini.
Uh-huh.
The name of the second, Keziah.
Uh-huh.
The name of the third, Karen Hepuk.
All right.
In all the land were found no women so beautiful.
All the land.
As the daughters of Job.
There was no women as beautiful as the daughters of Job. That's on the latter side.
All right.
Now on the first side, he just had three daughters.
All right.
Probably as ugly as 13 miles of dirt road on a rainy day. But that's all they said about the first three daughters. But the last three, there was nobody as beautiful as those girls. Y'all got time for one more butt? When we go to Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, we meet these three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These boys refused to bow down to the image that King Nebuchadnezzar has made. They're only going to worship God and God only. But Nebuchadnezzar likes these boys, and he brings them before him, and he tells them, he said, now listen, the word is out that you won't bow down. The music is about to play now, and if you bow down, well and good, I'll let you go. But if you don't bow down, I'm going to put you in the fiery furnace. And he has this furnace heated up seven times hotter than it normally is heated. These boys are in a fix. They are bound hand and feet. And Nebuchadnezzar asks them, who is the God that's going to save you from my hands now? They respond to Nebuchadnezzar, we don't know if he will, but we know that he can. And that's the attitude that you've got to have. That's what I call patience. See, a lot of times we talk about patience, we talk about waiting, going through stuff. Patience has nothing to do with you waiting. You have no choice. There's no need you keep on saying, well, I can't wait this. You can't, what else you gonna do? You got to wait. But what patience is all about is your attitude while you wait. That's what patience is. What is your attitude while you are waiting on God to make that transition? These boys, they said, King, we don't even need to talk about this. There's nothing to discuss. We're not going to worship anybody but God. And so the king has them thrown into the furnace. Seven times hot. I mean, it was so hot that the men were going to throw them in, they got consumed by the fire. And you don't even hear about them. You don't see them. They're part of the ash. But after having Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace, The king is sitting back, and he has them to open up the hearth of the furnace. And when he looks in, Bradshaw.
King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished.
He looks and he's just dumbfounded. Read.
And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors.
He looks at his counselors, he says, read, Bradshaw.
Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?
Did we not throw three men who were bound in the midst of the fire?
They said,
yes,
we threw three in. They answered and said to the king, true, O king.
Nebuchadnezzar says,
look, he answered.
Look.
I see four men.
Four. We threw three in. Four men there now.
Loose.
Loose. The only thing that got burned is the cords that were bounding them up. They walking around like they out in fresh air. And Gibbs, let me show you something. When they come out, we're going to have time to read it.
All right.
But the Bible says they didn't even smell like smoke.
I know that's right.
Didn't have an eyebrow singe.
Right.
I'm out barbecuing in the house, at the
all
house.
All right. Come on.
I don't get in the pit. I'm just out there turning meat over.
Yeah.
When I come in the house, my wife, leave your clothes out there because you smell like smoke. Yeah. I'm just turning wheat, the meat over.
Yeah.
They've been in the fire. Don't smell like smoke, don't even have an eyebrow singe. And then what he said, the fourth one.
Looks like the Son of God.
Fourth one looks like the Son of God. Now, what this does, Nebuchadnezzar now, he makes an edict that everybody is going to serve the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, when you go through your stuff, sometimes it's not for you. Sometimes it's for the folks around you. Every time you go through something, you don't have to question and say, Lord, what have I done? It has nothing to do with you. When Joseph went through what Joseph went through, it wasn't about Joseph. It was about his daddy. And you can read Genesis from Genesis 1 to Genesis 50, and you don't find where God told Joseph anything. God made the promise to Joseph's daddy. And Joseph went through what Joseph went through because of the promise that God made his daddy. What Job went through, it had nothing to do with Job disobeying God. When you go back and look at that story, when the church came together, Satan came in with us. And God asked Satan, what are you doing here? And Satan's response said, I'm just walking around. Find which one I'm gonna pluck next. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? And he says, Job is faithful. Can God say that about us? Can God walk up and say, she's faithful? And tell Satan, do whatever you want to do to her, but just don't take her life. Satan said, well, Job worships you because everything he touches, you turn it to gold. But God had that much faith in Job. He knew Job. And he says, you can do whatever you want to do to Job, just don't take his life. What's your name, brother? Brother Ransom?
Yes, sir.
Can God say that about you? Don't answer out loud.
I got you.
And whatever your name is, just ask yourself, can God say that about me?
Amen.
Whatever he lets me go through, whatever comes up on the right side of my butt,
amen.
I'm going to be faithful to God.
Amen.
All right. That was my introduction. Let me get to the lesson now.
All right.
In Acts, the chapter is 12. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is being incarcerated. Herod has had James beheaded. And mothers, y'all be careful what you pray for. Because God still answers prayers. James is the son of the mother who went to Jesus and says, I've got two boys. I want one to sit on your right hand and the other one to sit on your left hand. Jesus asked the woman, are you sure? Can they drink from the cup that I've got to drink from? The mother says, yes. Jesus says, it's not for me to give. But I want you to see where her two boys are. One of them, John, is cast out on the Isle of Patmos. The other one, James, has just been beheaded. Be careful what you pray for. And that's why I'm so happy that we have Jesus up there interceding for us, sitting on the right hand of the Father. Because sometimes when you're going through your troubles and your trials, you'll pray, Lord, move this problem. Right. And Jesus is sitting there by his father and saying, Dad, hold up. Don't move the problem, because you and I both know that they are the problem. So don't move the problem. Let's give them some strength that they can deal with the situation. Let's give them so be careful what you pray for. And thank God that we have an intercessor up there interceding for us with the Father. James has been beheaded. Peter now, Herod recognizes how much joy it brought to the Jews by him beheading James. So he has Peter arrested. Your King James Bible said it was Easter. Another translation said it was the day before Passover. Mm-hmm. And so they can't kill him now, but they're going to kill him in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so they have Peter arrested. Mm-hmm. Put Peter in maximum security. Mm-hmm. Most of your translations say he was guarded by four squads of soldiers. Mm-hmm. Four squads. A squad is four. Mm-hmm. So four squads is 16 folks guarding this one man. Peter has in his cell, he has a soldier chained to his left side. He has a soldier chained to his right side. He has two soldiers in there with the chained soldiers, just in case those two who are chained to Peter can't handle Peter. So there's two in there that have nothing to do but to make sure that Peter is taken care of. Then there are four on the outside of the cell, just in case the four on the inside of the cell can't take care of Peter. Down the corridor of the jail, there are four down there on the inside in case the eight that are down at the cell with Peter can't handle them. And just outside of the gate, there are four more in case the 12 on the inside can't take care of Peter. He is in maximum security, supposed to be dead in the morning. And Peter is laying up there sound asleep. How can a man the night before execution lay up there that sound asleep? Now I know he's sound asleep, because when Bradshaw started reading, you're going to find that the light came on. Peter kept on sleeping. The angel had to come over there and, get up, Peter. You know how he can sleep like that? Because in John chapter 21, I think, and round about verse 18, Jesus tells Peter, you a young man. You go and come like you want to. But you're going to be an old man, and you're going to be led into some situations to where you don't want to go.
Amen.
Peter is depending on the word of God. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation, but that's not up to me to find out. Don't ever allow the problems of the world overshadow the promises of God. Don't ever allow the problems that you're going through to overshadow the promises that God has made us. He said, I'll never, never leave you. I'll never leave you. And whenever there's a separation between man and God, it's always man leaving God, never God leaving man. Bradshaw, I want you to read for me.
All right.
Beginning at verse 5.
Peter was therefore kept in prison.
Uh-huh.
But constant prayer.
But don't run over the but, Bradshaw. But
constant prayer was offered to God.
Was offered to God
for him by the church.
Now listen, Greenville Avenue. I want you to hear this, and if you don't get anything else out of my message, I want you to get this. When you pray, if you don't pray in faith, save that breath to do something else. When you pray, you need to know that God can answer my prayer. Now, I'm going to come back to that. Read, Bradshaw.
And when Herod was about to bring him out.
When Herod was about to bring Peter out.
That night, Peter was sleeping.
Peter was sleeping. He wasn't just cat winking. He was sleeping. Right. Read. Bound with two chains between two soldiers. Read, Bradshaw.
And the guards came before the door were keeping the prison.
The guards before the door, all of these guards, you've got 16 guards, all of them are keeping the prison. Read.
Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him.
All right.
And a light shone in the prison.
Light shine in the prison, Peter still asleep.
And he struck Peter on the side.
He had to strike Peter on the side. Get up.
And raised him up.
Get up.
Saying, arise quickly.
Arise, Peter.
And his chains fell off his hands.
Chains fell off, but the guards are still sleeping. Read. Peter stands up, the chains go down, guards still sleeping. Read.
Then the angel said to him, gird yourself.
Put your clothes on, Peter.
And tie on your sandals.
Put your shoes on, Peter.
And so he did.
We're going to walk. Read.
And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me.
Come on, Peter, just follow God's name. Read.
So he went out and followed him.
Now listen. This is before the genius. How many of y'all have genius to let your garage door up and open your gates and so forth? This is before that genie was invented. Read.
And did not know what was done by the angel was real.
Peter didn't even know that this was real. Peter thought he was dreaming. You know, he was in a deep sleep. And when the angel said, get up, put your clothes on, put your shoes on, gird yourself, we're about to walk. Peter thinking he's dreaming. Read, Bradshaw. Thought he was seeing a vision. Read.
When they were past the first and second guard posts.
The first and second guard posts. That's eight he went by. Read.
They came to the iron gate.
There's this big iron gate. Boop. Read.
Which opened to them own accord.
Ain't God awesome? God is awesome. Read, Bradshaw.
And they went out and went down the street. And immediately the angel departed.
The angel, after Peter's out of danger, the angel leaves. The angel leaves. Now here we come, Greenville Avenue. Here we come. Read, Bradshaw.
And when Peter had come to himself. He said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel.
I know. Ain't nobody but God. There are some things that happen to us that can't nobody do it but God. Nobody can bring us through what we go through but God. Read, Bradshaw.
And has delivered me from the hand of Herod. And from all the expectation of the Jewish people.
Yes, sir. They expected me to die this morning, but here I am out on Greenville Avenue walking free.
So when they had considered this, he came to the house of Mary.
Now, Mary is John Mark's mother. And this is where Greenville Avenue is worshiping. They are praying at John Mark's house. Read.
Right. Where many were gathered together praying.
They were gathered together. Now, you remember in verse 5? Behind the left side of the butt, the right side, but the church was praying for him. They're at John Mark's mother's house praying. Read.
And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate,
here come Rhoda. Rhoda is the servant.
Rhoda came to answer.
Read.
When she recognized Peter's voice.
That sounds like Peter. Read.
Because of her gladness, she did not open the gate.
She didn't want to open the gate because she's kind of scared. That sounds like Peter, but I'm not sure. Read.
But ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate.
Now she goes back and she tells the church, y'all been praying for Peter. He's out there at the gate. What do they say?
But they said to her, you are beside yourself.
Girl, you crazy. What are you praying for?
Yeah, it's all right.
Why have you been praying? If you don't believe God is going to answer your prayer, quit praying. Quit praying. Read, Bradshaw.
Yes, she kept insisting that it was so.
She kept insisting. Now, it's Peter. It's Peter. Now, I don't know how he skipped that part when she first sees Peter. She's so excited. He wants to come in. She just slammed the door and run back. But let me tell you, church, that this is the message. Have faith in your prayer. Have faith in your prayer. And if you don't believe God will answer your prayer, why are you praying? This is a praying church. I know you are praying church. I know you. I know the angel of this house, and I know he believes in prayer. You have some wonderful elders here. I know they believe in prayer. And the saints who are coming in here, you pray on a regular basis. Have faith in your prayer. And whatever you go through on the left side of your butt, know that God is in control. Because there's always a right side. And as you go through your transition, church, as you go through your transition, don't fail to learn the lesson that God is trying to teach as you are going through your troubles, as you're going through your trials, as you're going through your tribulations. We have all kinds of problems. We have health issues. Many of us are dealing with health issues. We have financial issues. Many of us deal with financial. You ever had more month than you do money?
Yeah, right now.
Sister said, I got more month right now than I do money. You know, when I say more month than I do, you have money, that means you run out of money around the 12th of the month, but you got the rest of the month to go through.
Yeah.
You got more month than you do money. That's a problem. We have relationship issues. Any parents in here? You have problems with your kids. And my preacher used to tell me, and I learned, said when they are little, they lay on your lap.
Yep.
But when they get bigger, they lay on your heart.
Yeah.
And sometimes your children will make you wake up in the morning with nothing wet in your bed but your pillow from your tears all night. And when you have children who are blessed, you have children who don't bring you problems, you need to thank God on a regular basis. Three or four times a day you thank God.
Amen.
That I haven't had to go to the courthouse with them. I haven't had to go to the jailhouse with them. I haven't had to bury one of them. Thank God for him blessing you. And church, we've got so much to thank God for. So much to thank God for. Whenever you're going through the left side, always know that there is a right side. I don't know all of this audience. In fact, I don't know many of this audience. I know many of you are already members of the body of Christ. But because of Satan and his trickery, sometimes he pulls us away. He lures us away. And Satan knows you better than you know you. Because sometimes, you know, you want to warm by the enemy's fire. And you know, we want to back up to it. I don't know why we want to do that, but that's how we do it. We back up to the fire. Satan knows if I can get him warming, I'll get him burning. And so, church, Satan knows us. He knows what bait to use to attract us. And sometimes we're drawn asunder. And if you have been drawn asunder, you come back to God through repentance,
Amen.
Confession, and prayer. If you have yet to put Christ on in baptism, you need to do like this young lady did today. After hearing the gospel, you need to believe the same. You need to repent of your transgressions. After repentance, and repentance simply means to acknowledge what you've been doing that's wrong and make up in your mind that I'm going to start doing the right thing. Now, repentance, you can repent for what you haven't been doing. You know, sometimes we just focus on sins by commission. There are sins by omission as well. And so once we repent, then we make that noble confession, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be buried with him in that watery tomb of baptism. And baptism washes away, it eradicates, it just cleans up our sin. And that's so wonderful. That's so wonderful.
Amen.
What God can do. And nobody can do what God can do. This morning, I want you to consider your butts. And whatever you are going through on the left side, always know that God has a right side. Learn from what you are experiencing. If you're here this morning and you qualify in either situation, we're going to ask that you come right now while together we stand and sing a song of encouragement. Please.
Hold him up and tell Jesus what the problem is. Call him up. He will lend you a hand. Just call him up. He will cast away your doubts and fears. Stop hesitating.
I know
God is waiting. So call him up in prayer. Jesus is a friend who's there in all your times of need. And when trials come, he will heed. So just call him up, call him up. Stop hesitating, hesitating. I know my God is waiting. So call him up in prayer.